Tonight's Dharma talk will be a slight divergence from usual. We've decided to give our dear friend Suzuki Roshi the night off. He's been working so hard for the last 12 days trying to teach us knuckleheads something. We've been doing our best, all of us, coming back to the Zendo again and again, coming back to his wonderful book. We will return. Tonight I wanted to read a koan, one of the root stories of our tradition, in honor of an event that is happening later this evening. After our formal sitting and doksan practice later this evening in a private ceremony, I will be transmitting the Dharma to Mike Felicky. This transmission of the Dharma is something that is an important part of our tradition, where the teacher recognizes the student. And the root story, one of them, of this is case 6 of the gateless barrier, the woman Guan. The world-honored one twirls a flower. Once in ancient times, when the world-honored one was at Vulture Peak, he twirled a flower before his assembled disciples. All were silent. Only Mahakashapa broke into a smile. The world-honored one said, "I have the eye treasury of right Dharma, the subtle mind of Nirvana, the true form of no form, and the flawless gate of the teaching. It is not established upon words and phrases. It is a special transmission outside tradition. I now entrust this to Mahakashapa." So this is the story of the Buddha passing on this teaching. This teaching that he says is outside, this special transmission outside tradition, not dependent upon words and phrases. These past many days, we have been spending a fair amount of time talking, but yet more time in silence. Zen is a path that honors the eloquence of silence, that honors that there is something beyond the conceptual world of the mind. There is a world of aliveness and freedom. We call this the world of awakening. And Buddha, of course, is a Sanskrit word that just means one who is awake. The historical Buddha, who lived around 500 before the Common Era, was not a god, did not consider himself, nor did his followers, but he was a human being who woke up. And he woke up to this life, woke up to this world of coming and going. And in his teaching, he has passed this down to us. So now, so many thousands of years ago, we still look back to his example. And this wonderful story of his transmission to Mahakashapa, one of the lovely things about it is that the first time it appeared in written form was around it was in the 11th century in China that this story first appeared. And in fact, the whole tradition, this Zen tradition that dates back to the Buddha of teacher passing this teaching on to disciple, was created sometime around the 11th century. And all of these wonderful historical characters were filled in and are these stories of the truth of human experience. The truth of how we as human beings truly learn. This teaching that passes from heart to heart, this intimate transmission. Another one of our chants, the Jeweled Mirror Samadhi, we say the Dharma of thusness is intimately transmitted. Now you have it, preserve it well. So this intimate transmission is the transmission of what is already in your heart. This is not the transmission of learning or acquiring something. But our practice in Zen is to, in a sense, become less and less. We are not accumulating concentration. We are not accumulating wisdom. But perhaps learning how to rely less and less on the way we thought things were. Please come in. There's a seat over here. Yeah, welcome. There are this transmission has been a formal part of Zen since the 11th century, fairly easy to trace. And this transmission comes into our Sangha through the Japanese Soto tradition. James Ford received transmission from John Tarrant and Jiu Kennett, two different streams of the Soto tradition. And James Ford transmitted his Dharma to Melissa and Josh. Both are continuing that lineage. Melissa has now transmitted to James Cordova, Diane Fitzgerald, and Bob Waldinger. And Josh has transmitted to Kate Hartland and Steve Wallace. In our school, there are two steps of transmission. The first called Denpai and the second called Denbo. At this moment, James Cordova is the one student of Boundless Way who has received both his transmissions and is now a fully authorized Zen teacher. And I have received transmission through the Korean Rinzai lineage through my teacher, George Bowman. And I have also received authorization transmission from James Ford in his two traditions as well. So I will pass on these three lineages, two Soto and one Rinzai, to Mike this evening, so he may be a little stooped when you see him tomorrow dragging around a little bit. It's actually quite a problem, this transmission stuff, because one, you can't get it if you want it, and then when you get it, it's more of a problem than you thought. Like, you thought, oh, that would be great, then I could be a real teacher. And then you get it. And I remember the night before my George gave me my first transmission, we were upstairs putting our robes on, and I turned to him and I said, I'm not sure this is such a good idea. And he turned to me and he said, me neither. So it began. Fortunately, one of our students, Nat Needle, who we've mentioned at other times, when I received my final transmission, he gave me some transmission stop leak. Quite good for your transmission in your car, but I only take small sips of it because it seems to... a little dab will do you. This transmission is so important. This recognizing in each other, recognizing someone who has looked deeply into the matter and someone who understands this fundamental point. Now, of course, this transmission does not change anything. That this humanness, this coming and going, this impermanence, this clarity followed by confusion, confidence followed by self-doubt, this continues, this play of light and shadow, this play of joy and sorrow. This is our life. This transmission is recognizing that someone has seen into this and then is charged to carry on the Dharma. And to be a real Zen teacher, there are actually two transmissions. One is from a teacher who has been authorized herself or himself. But there is also the authorization of the student. You can have lovely documents and papers, and Mike will get some arcane and interesting documents this evening tracing the lineage back to the time of the Buddha. And you can have all your papers in order, but if nobody comes to sit with you, then you're not an authorized teacher. You're just someone who has the papers and documents. So this teaching is an activity that we engage in, not so much a status to occupy. And this transmission, of course, is not special. And this transmission happens all the time. So when you go up to Doksan, when you go alone to the teacher, and you bring your question, or you don't bring your question, you show up as yourself, or you show up in some disguise, trying to be someone else, that meeting with the teacher, that is the transmission. You show up as yourself and I show up as myself. And when we do this, something happens that we touch and are touched by something more precious than anything else. Something that truly is beyond words and letters, beyond the stories. We call it the myoho, the wondrous Dharma, this wondrous, mysterious, inexplicable, ungraspable, uncreated, incomprehensible life. So this intimate transmission tonight, later on, I will be with the transmitted teachers of Boundless Way, and we together will be present at this ceremony. But the transmission of the Dharma is here in the breathing in and breathing out. The transmission we receive when we walk in the Kinin line and follow in step. Our timer leading us, each one of us, giving and receiving life. This intimate transmission that we can never understand, but we can trust it. we can trust that at every moment it is presenting itself effortlessly. At every moment we are sustained by this Dharma, so near, like the water to a fish or the air to a bird, inexhaustible, utterly generous. And so appreciating, receiving and giving, each one of us transmitting and being transmitted to on this evening of the occasion of Michael's Denkai transmission. Thank you. So I invite you to sit comfortably, and we have a time for questions or comments.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
And early congratulations to Michael, assuming this happens.
and by the way, it's Michael. Raise your hand over there, the victim. He'll have a funny colored rock suit tomorrow. Uh-huh. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
And I just was struck by your the case, you know, and retelling, and the way that transmission is taught to us is with the flower, you know, the twirling of a flower, right?
Yeah.
You know, so many other actions or words could have been used,
mm-hmm.
Yet this is what comes down to us, just this very bare, simple, that everyone can see and appreciate and notice, you know, just that,
yeah.
Just so beautiful. So
yeah.
Thank you for that reminder,
uh-huh.
and learning that it this was 11th century?
Yeah, 11th century was the first time it appeared. Mm-hmm.
So some big, great flowering then, yes?
Yeah, uh-huh. It was the sun flowering.
Yeah.
And there's one wonderful Buddhist Zen historian, John McCrae, who says that the more detailed a story is, the less likely it's actually true, but the more important it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this flower, something at the heart of our enterprise here,
mm-hmm.
Not big words or a complicated doctrine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Zen is the only part of Buddhism that tells this story. So if you say to a Buddhist of any other stripe, you know the story about the twirling the flower, they won't know what you're talking about. So it's history that was made. So it happened 2,600 years ago according to the Zen school, and then it was written down in the 11th century. But so it's like post-dating history in a mm-hmm. funny way. And the other part of it, so there's the flower, but then there's the smile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. so amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's acknowledged, the teacher twirls the flower and the student smiles. He gets it. Something is gotten, and it's outside words. Mm-hmm.
And this is the transmission we have with our friends and our children and our dogs. You know, you ever see a dog smile? It's quite. You have to look closely. But it's not a otherworldly smile, you know, that we might imagine. But the genuineness of self seeing self and appreciating. Yeah, Lona.
Thank you for the talk and congratulations. I find it very hard to believe that you don't want to be receive transmission.
Oh, yeah.
Or that David didn't want it. Or
that anyone you can have it if you don't, when you don't
right.
want it.
Yeah.
I find that very hard to believe.
Yeah, it's actually not true.
there,
there's a story of a young student comes to the teacher and says, I really want to become a Zen teacher. And the teacher says, oh, okay, well, practice 20 years, another 20 years. And the student says, well, what if I practice really, really hard? And the teacher says, oh, okay, maybe 30 years.
Yeah. So I think there is a wanting. There is some kind of calling in some sense. But it, in some ways that has to wear away because the real... You know, occasionally we'll get people here say, well, I want to practice so I can be a Zen teacher. And we have to practice to wake up. If that's not the primary thing, then we're in trouble. And then if we practice to wake up, then our path becomes clear. And being a Zen teacher is not a better path than any other path. But Melissa and I began teaching in the early 90s. We moved to Worcester in 1991, and there was no Zen group, and we were studying with a Zen teacher, and so we got two friends together and started sitting in our house on Sunday evenings at 8:20. Our daughter went to bed at 8, and by 8:20 she would be settled. So, but for many years it was 8:20. And it was just, you know, we all sat. And then we decided we wanted to start a Zen group, and each of us asked our teachers, could we teach? And so there are many levels of permission. So in here in the Boundless Way, you can become a Dharma teacher and then a senior Dharma teacher where you give Dharma talks, but it's not a permanent transmission. It's all under the authority of the guiding teachers. But Melissa and I received this sort of partial authority. And my teacher, George, I asked him, I said, you know, can I have your permission to start this little group and teach? And he thought for a little while and he says, well, I suppose if you just talk about what you know, you won't do too much harm.
So. And my teacher said no. But he said, I suppose if it's what you want to do, you know, go ahead, see what happens. But then later, we both received transmission. I did from James, as David said, James Ford. David eventually from George. And I was just thinking about, we get lots of emails coming to the temple, and one of my students answers them routinely, and I answer them, and we take turns answering whoever gets to them first. And we got an email the other day that said, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I want to be a Zen teacher. I want to know about your Zen teacher training program. And so all day I thought, how am I going to answer this person? Meanwhile, my student answered and said, that's very nice. I encourage you to come and try to learn to meditate first. And the temple is open such and such hours. And I was really so impressed with his clarity, the guy who answered the email. Not the guy who wrote the email. Because, you know, we do have this idea that it's there's some kind of teacher training involved, but it's more of, I like to use the word apprenticeship, like a lot of hanging around and making yourself known as a person who's reliable, and at the same time practicing so sincerely, and the teacher recognizing that. This is why we have Doksan. You know, when you come in and you meet face to face with somebody, you can try to hide. Boy, I think a lot of people do, but you can't hide. If you think you can, maybe you could come in with a mask, but even that doesn't work, right? And then eventually there's a recognition, this mutual recognition. And so you can want it. And I would also say that the wanting persists, right? Because it's ridiculous to be a teacher. You know, there is some little, okay, I'll do this. But it's not the wanting that started us out. That's got to wear away.
And the thing that you get is not the thing that you wanted. As long as you don't have Dharma transmission, you can be really sure that everything would be okay if only you had Dharma transmission. Mm-hmm. And then you get it. And there's a document that I think David received that his transmission is hanging on the wall in his room up there. It says, still the same old me.
Yeah. I was thinking the other thing I got, my present from Josh and my transmission is hanging in the hallway here. And it says, no merit. Which was the emperor's, the Bodhidharma's response to the emperor. He had a meeting with the emperor and the emperor said, you know, I've really devoted my life to Buddhism. I've built temples. I've supported monasteries, given, you know, billions of dollars. What merit do I get from this? And Bodhidharma said, no merit. And it's yes and no. I have to say, for me, being a Zen teacher, is such an honor, you know, to get to do this work. I am so humbled and astounded and don't quite know how it happened except that I really want to wake up. I want to do this work. I love to do this work as my colleagues here all nuts for this. And then we all teach in different ways. But great misfortune to sit in this seat, and great fortune, you know. So,
I wanted to read a couple lines from Dogen that seem relevant here, that we read today earlier from the Genjo Koan. And I think this is what we're looking for, really, and this is some clarity that I'm waiting for. So. He says, when the Dharma does not fill your whole body and mind, you think it is already sufficient. Right? That's how, I got it. Yes.
It's clear.
When it doesn't fill your whole body and mind, you think it is already sufficient. When the Dharma fills your body and mind, you understand that something is missing. That's what I'm looking for. And you can't fake that, you know. That and we all think, I got it, and we do get it over and over again. And then this world opens up and we realize, oh, this being crazy for the Dharma, that's what persists. And the learning goes on forever. There's no end to it. Because the world is vast and wide. It's full of something that will never be completely known.
And I think one of our innovations here is that it used to be a binary thing. You were a student, and then when you received transmission, you became a teacher. But here in Boundless Way, as you've seen from all the different Dharma talks, some people have received transmission, some haven't, but there are all these levels where we sort of try it out. You know, the first one for us is a practice leader where you say, you know, I want to get a group together, and then you work with a teacher and you get a group together and you sort of function as a teacher without teaching. You know, then we get to the point where we think, well, if you open your mouth, you won't do too much harm, and then you can be a Dharma teacher. But it's really a gradual and a relational process that happens here. That, and then we've developed this Sangha of teachers. Which then supports each other, and quite a rich thing. But let's get back to the real thing. So let's take a few breaths, and then we'll move into walking meditation.